we've already encountered a level of self-deliverance on today, but even thinking back to last week when Apostle Charlie closed out the message on living life on purpose, he literally closed out with a few profound, thought-provoking questions. And I picked up on a few of those, and I want to just piggyback on them today. Amen. He said, in order to live life on purpose, we must get in touch with our shadow. Remember that? And when I heard this, I thought, wow, our shadow, that dark reflection on the floor, seems to follow us everywhere we go as long as we stay in the light. That's what I thought when he said that. I said, my shadow seems to follow me everywhere I go as long as I stay, somebody say, in the light. We can't run from our shadow. Somebody say, it's always there. Right there with us. But if we position ourselves just right in the light, our shadow falls behind us. And we're not seeing it, and nor is it causing any distraction to us unless we do what? Turn around and look back. Somebody catching this? It's following me as long as I'm positioned just right in the light of God. And it's following me, not distracting me, not delaying or denying me until I turn around, somebody say, and look back. So when we look and reflect to Lot's wife, can I teach just a minute? Lot's wife looked back. After the angels had instructed them, do not look back and do not stop anywhere in the plain. Somebody say the low valley, the low levels of the valley. Come on, how many of us have had those low life experiences? Come on, am I the only one in here? Anybody had those low life experiences and you heard God say, and you heard the preacher say, and you heard the word say, don't look back to the plain. Don't look back in the low levels of life, what you've come up out of. But we tend to continue to look back and be distracted. But I'm talking about believers who's in the light. Come on. And so when we look at living life on purpose, we see believers doing good. Somebody say, but we keep looking back. We keep, tell the truth and shame the devil. We keep, anybody other than me, we tend to keep looking back. Somebody say, not anymore. Say, today is my day of eternal victory and eternal deliverance. Yeah, we look back at the hurts. We look back at the pain. We look back at what everyone else is doing and how everyone else is acting. Come on. And some things that we see tend to make us weep in our spirit. Come on. And we're not able to get up and rise up because we're always at a place. I call it the weeping wander. Everything's crying and tearing and everything's weeping and wondering. Oh, why don't this and why don't that? Well, why don't we rise up to the occasion and see what's going on, but put it behind us and walk and go, man, our spirit and our past pain and our past hurt to follow us and not delay or deny us. Somebody say the promises of God. There comes a time when we have to get up from weeping at that place to now arise, and somebody say, in my authority. No, we're not ignorant. That's why we're weeping and God is downloading and he's speaking to us. But what do we do after that? We don't get there. Some of us just stay there. In the midst of praise, we stay there. In the midst of promotion, when we should be celebrating and rejoicing, we stay there. We're crying. We're weeping. And we're, after we've been elevated to a place of power and authority where we're supposed to be walking out the will of God, we still weeping and crying. Ah. So Pastor Apostle C said, we have to stop hiding our dark side. And I want to just release anything that's hidden. Jot this down. If it's hidden, it remains unexposed. And God desires to expose the hidden and dark arenas of our life so that he can bring, write this down, not only salvation. We're saved already. Now what? He desires to bring deliverance. Somebody just lay hand on your mind and say, deliverance to my mind. Come on, we're going to take authority, deliverance of my mind. Even as I release this teaching, there'll be individuals who will feel right where I'm releasing and teaching. And I'm going to release now a spirit of liberty where you're going to have to get up out your seat. You might have to walk the back just to receive the download of revelation. You may have to walk the altar just to make known to the enemy that I'm walking in a new level of power now, Satan. I'm walking in a new level of authority now, Satan. And I don't care who sees it. We've been hiding, and Satan been loving it. But somebody say, I'm walking in my authority in Jesus' name. God desires to bring the deliverance to our minds because, write this down, our mind is the place of bondage where the enemy entertains and play games with us. Write that down. That's the only place. We're saved. He can't touch our heart. It's pure as gold. We're on our way to heaven. But somebody say, he can play games with my mind. Come on. Eve entertained the conversation of Satan. Think about it. God spoke to Adam. Adam spoke to Eve. Eve engages. The problem wasn't that she engaged. The problem was that she entertained his foolishness. She entertained his lies. She entertained the spirit of manipulation. She entertained and accepted the spirit of deception. And as a result, not only did the man of God who he spoke to get kicked out of the garden, she got kicked out with him. She didn't go by herself. So we have to be mindful when God is speaking to us. If we dare entertain, come on, and not tap into beyond salvation, but now deliverance, where we put Satan in his proper place, we are more likely to get kicked out of the promises of God just by entertaining his spirits in our mind, his thoughts, come on, in our mind. So now we see that particular believer up and down, back and forth, supposed to be drawing people to us, but that believer is running people away. Come on. We're supposed to be encouraging and loving and forgiving, but many of us are discouraged and hating life and hating people and harboring on unforgiveness in our own heart. Come on, y'all. I decree we won't leave this place the same. We won't entertain not one stench of unforgiveness, not one stench of hatred, not one stench of bitterness. We'll be named among the children of God that's walking in the light. How many of you know you can only give what you got? Oh, I want to be like that, Pastor Vicky, that anointing. No, you don't. Because I had an outright battle with Satan, and I would not be standing here before you. 26 years of marriage, 2 children that's walking in power and authority, entrepreneurs who's already sowing seed into the kingdom of God. I ain't say a tithe. I say a seed. That's beyond. That's 2 levels beyond a tithe. So when you deal with teaching, you give all that you got. And that's what I'm here and commanded to do this morning. Is that all right? Give God a praise. Give him a praise. Go ahead. Give him a quick praise. Lord, no, we could have shifted and we could have done 50 million things this morning. But God says, not Satan, my people are destroyed. God says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge in Hosea 4:6. But how many of you have read the latter verse where he says, now because of your ignorance, I got to ignore your children. Now you birth ignorant children into the earth realm. How many of us have read that part of Hosea 4:6? B. So now we see the generational curse just passing down from one generation to another generation because we don't want to sit. We just want to receive, but we don't want to release. We don't release because we don't know how to release. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Hit a little drum roll there, James. Hit a little drum roll there because we breaking up some stuff. We tearing up some things. We speaking and we cultivating some soil in the mind this morning. Hallelujah. Okay, Apostle said we need to deal with our dark side. Remember that? He said we need to deal with our dark side. I say if we don't admit, if we don't admit that there is a dark side, how in the are we going to deal with it? How in the are we going to deal with it? See, we've been there, ain't we? The hardest thing for a believer, Robin, is to admit, holy God, there's a dark side on me. Ah, somebody say, I know that's right. We gonna expose it today. Guess what? You're not gonna expose it out here. You gonna expose it in here. And the mind is now gonna be transformed to the mind of Christ. And you're going to humble, and you're going to surrender, and you're going to submit that thing to God, and in due time, he's going to elevate and exalt you to a high place. Somebody ought to give him praise right there. That's why I said the altar's open. You don't have to articulate anything out your mouth. You just wrap your mind around what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and doing and speaking to you. And I guarantee you, our mind won't have a choice but to come into divine alignment with what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and how the Spirit of the Lord is moving and what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in our life. Give God praise. No choice, no choice. Somebody say no choice. We're new in Christ Jesus. Amen. I love these teaching opportunities. I really do. Wow. So today, you know, as we look at God dealing with our dark side, we remain in the dark. Think about a dark room. Just think about a dark room for a moment. When we're in a dark room and we remain in the dark, look at this. We literally become one with our shadow because the shadow disappears. It blends. Come on. It blends, our dark side blends with who we are because we're in a dark place now. And now when we see this, we begin to see that all of my pain, I become one with now in a dark place. All of my lies, I become one with when I stay in that dark place. All of the bitterness and all of the confusion, all of the hurt and all of the resentment, in a dark place, as long as that we stay there, the enemy isn't upset with us. Because why? We become one with our shadow in that dark place. So today I want to just release a few moments on living life on purpose. Write this down, dealing with the dark side. Living life on purpose, dealing with the dark side. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous, nobody. Don't log off of aggro. Don't get nervous. We're going to all be enlightened on today. Amen. If you haven't already been, give God praise if you've already been enlightened. It's called opening up the eyes of his people. Can you imagine if every believer was willing to just share his or her testimony of faith to the world, be it by mouth, scheduling a meeting? We schedule meetings all week long. How many meetings do we schedule just to share our testimony of faith with somebody who's out there in the world? If we just shared our testimony of faith on social media, do you know how many unsaved individuals on their way to hell would find themselves just in and through our little old testimony of faith? They tap into what I call an amazing power of God and love of God, who has the ability to forgive them right in the midst of their sin. He did it for us, didn't he? Somebody say, how much more will he do it for them? In this conversation, we will share our admittance, write this down, admittance of our sin that we were once in bondage to, the sincerity of our heart to live a life for Christ, and the confession of our faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Somebody say, that's the door. That's the doorway to heaven. So yeah, how beautiful that would be. But even after we get saved, there is still some serious deliverance that must take place in our life. So we can share the testimony of faith and bring them into the kingdom of God and allow them, what, access to eternal life. But guess what? Salvation and deliverance are two entirely different things. But we as believers believe sometimes, or, you know, not any of us in here, but some of those out there believe that once I get saved, that's it. Baby, that ain't it. That's just the start. That's not the finish line. Because once you start walking this life of salvation, every weapon, every attack that the enemy can conjure up in his little mind, he gonna throw our way. to knock us down. That's why we worship in the corporate setting, but go back to our home and we're, woe is me, I'm having these feelings again. Because I'm saved and I express my joy in my victory, but I don't really know how to walk out the victory and the power that God has given me over the attack and the attempts of the enemy. When I say up and down, back and forth, please don't think I'm pointing fingers. That's why I rest, sleep, pray, meditate, and warfare all in one. So that I can stay standing when I leave out the doors of Woodside High School. So my spirit will remain built up when I leave the corporate anointing and presence of God. Somebody say amen. So there's some blinders in this process, I'll call it, of deliverance. There's some blinders that still must come off of our eyes. Write this down. Blinders that must come off, write this down. Distorted ways of seeing and viewing matters. Distorted. That's the prefix that the enemy plays off of. That's why we have divorce. There's so many words. Division. So distorted is a view that the enemy will plant in the mind of the believer. Come on. And that's why these blinders have to be removed from our eyes. Nobody loves me. How about this one? Everybody out to get me. If that's what's in your mind, how about this one? You can't trust nobody these days. I'm talking fresh, distorted views. You can't trust nobody these days. Can I come kingdom? Not even the pastors of the church no more. Am I right, Jay? Distorted views that the enemy will plant in our mind, and we as believers who's supposed to be in the light, we sign off on it. We piggyback on it. Come on, because salvation is on our side, but the distorted views of the matter still have not been delivered and cleansed and purged from our mind. I know what you're saying, girl. Did you read that article? You're perpetuating the matter. Did you read the article about so-and-so? Girl, that's a shame. Yeah, you just, come on. We engage. We think we're engaging, but we're entertaining. What if we said, I read that article, and I immediately engaged in warfare because of the demonic plot and schemes that's over the kingdom of God, that's over the pastors that's standing in the pulpit. They are under major attack. So, yeah, I read the article. I don't need to talk about the article. Let's talk about what God showed me. When I warfared on behalf of that pastor, he showed me that blinders were on his eyes, and he commanded me to loose those shackles and set that man and woman of God free. But we don't go that route. We entertain the distorted views, come on, of the matter. Let me say this. There are still and will always be shepherds after God's own heart, who will feed his people with knowledge and understanding. Anybody want to shout on that? There is and there will always be. So now when you look at leadership, regurgitating what's coming from the pastors, the shepherd of the sheep, we don't go out and regurgitate something that's contrary to what the woman of God or the man of God is speaking from the pulpit. You want to know what our responses are supposed to be? Our responses are to echo what the mama and the daddy, come on, the shepherds of God's house is feeding the sheep. And that's why I know that the wolf are out there trying to consume and distort the views of the sheep, because many of them don't sound like their pastors. And that's the level of authority I'm walking in now, Betsy. The sheep going to line up with the shepherd. The sheep are going to follow and not try to get in front of and lead the sheep. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm saying. Let me do my thing. Baby, if you only knew how the wolves were out there ready to rip you apart. I'm just trying to cover you. Apostles just trying to cover you. We're just trying to protect you. Somebody say, from what? Somebody say the distorted views of the enemy. Is that all right, Vachelle? That's all we're trying to do. So that's why I come as a teacher, a deliverance minister, to expel the works of the enemy so that we can see clearly now. Somebody say, she loves us that much. You don't have too many pastors like that. So I said, even after we get saved, there's some serious deliverance that must take place. There's some, write this down, mute buttons over our ears that must be unmuted. People forget that one of the main spirits Jesus dealt with in the New Testament was the deaf, dumb, and mute spirit. The deaf, dumb, and mute spirit. Hear the way. Hear the spirit of the Lord. Hear the shepherds. But the mute button will prevent you from listening and processing and understanding and doing what they say do. So when this mute button is unmuted, we can hear the Spirit of God speaking. Watch this. Warning, guiding and directing us versus the can't nobody tell me anything spirit. Can I just say that's a spirit of pride? And that's right where the enemy desires the believers to remain. Under a spirit of pride. Write down Isaiah 14, 13. You know that's the five eyes. I know it all. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But Proverbs 16, 18 literally tells us that pride goes before destruction. And a proud spirit that knows it all goes before a fall. Somebody lay hands on your mind right now and say, in the name of Jesus, I break every stench, every hint of pride that has come into my mind in Jesus' name. How do I know we have to do it? You have to do it? Because I have to do it. Is that fair enough? I have to do it. Everything I'm teaching, I have to stay on my guard. Amen? Oh, the enemy know if he wipe me and Apostle C out, he gonna wipe all y'all out with us. Because it's going to be the, I told you so, you big dummy. You stayed up in there under Charlie and Vicki Ammons when we watched all the other pastors fall. How dare you think Apostle Charlie and Pastor Vicki walk in a different level of anointing and authority than all the rest? Oh, come on. If we go down, what they say on New Jack City, we going to take everybody down with us. Satan knows that. That's why that hedge of protection around us is so critical. That's why intercession and warfare got to go hand in hand when you lift up your shepherds. Satan ain't just after me and Apostle C and our marriage. He after you and your wife and you and your husband and your marriage. Somebody better pray for us. He ain't just after Jonathan and Jeremiah. He after your children. Somebody better pray for our children, because if they go down, every child in this ministry going to go down. Somebody better stand up and raise a standard in this house. Somebody better take authority in this house. Somebody better decree that enough is enough and I'm standing and walking in my rightful place of authority that I'm entitled to. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'm expelling the work of Satan. That's why he tried to frustrate me so bad. He wanted to shut my mouth. Not so. Hallelujah! Not so. When we tap into that spirit realm, we can and will pull down strongholds. We will break the blinders. We will unmute the ears so that we as a people of God can hear what God, the Spirit of God, is saying. Well, God speak to me just like he speak to you. Well, did I say there was only one way to hear from God? You can hear from God directly. But if you open up yourself, come on, and want to be up under this anointing, then you ought to be able to open up yourself and hear what God is saying, oh my God, to me concerning you. Did God jump off his throne and anoint David? Or did he send Samuel and say, tell David he is the one? He sent a prophet then, he gonna send a prophet now. Many of you are that prophet. Many of you are that prophet. Go ahead and have a seat. If I don't finish, because when I close out, we're gonna be done. We're gonna release phase two of self-deliverance, and we're gonna be up out of here, amen? We're gonna leave as new creatures in Christ Jesus, ones walking in the full full right and authority that God has given us, and not that halfway anointing. Hallelujah. Jot this down. In this deliverance process comes a sincere admittance of our dark side. Unhealthy? What is this dark side, PV? What is this dark side you keep talking about to live a life on purpose? It's unhealthy thoughts, emotions, feelings, actions, reactions, words. Y'all with me? Motives and intentions. I didn't get that out in the Webster's. I got that straight from the throne of God. That's where the teaching anointing will receive download of definitions. There's another definition I'm sure Webster's have on the dark side, but God said for today, my definition is unhealthy thoughts, emotions, feelings, reactions, actions, words, motives, and intentions. Let me say this. There's a healthy and an unhealthy side to everything. Yes, it is. There's a healthy and an unhealthy, write this down, side of stress. Mm-hmm. James, I'm stressed out every day. But it's a healthy stress. It's a pressure to make me progress in the things of God. Then there's an unhealthy stress that causes hypertension, where if it shoots out the roof, you're subject to a heart attack. Come on, cardiovascular problems. There's a healthy and an unhealthy side of everything. We have to come in contact with this dark side to be able to discern whether it's healthy or unhealthy. Because if we mistake the healthy side for being unhealthy, then that's where we find people who say, I need a drink when I'm stressed out. I just said I'm stressed out every day, but it's a healthy stress. If I put a drink on top of my healthy stress every day, I'd be an alcoholic by now. We got to be able to discern whether this is healthy or unhealthy. If it's healthy, it's of God and it's promoting growth and prosperity. If it's unhealthy, it's of the enemy and it's promoting what? Doom and destruction. But we just look at everything as one way or the other instead of discerning the matter. Am I right about it? There's a healthy and unhealthy fear. You know, reverence for God is good, the fear and reverence for God, but the fear that immobilizes us and stunts our growth is bad. That's unhealthy. Let me drop this on frustration. Frustration that causes you to do better is healthy. Frustration that causes you to give up is unhealthy. I'm frustrated. Just bump it. I'm done. That's unhealthy. Write this down. Sleep. There's a healthy sleep that allows us to get the proper rest we need, but then there's an unhealthy sleep where we want to sleep away the cares of life. When I wake up, it'll be all over. And when we wake up and it's not over, we go back to sleep. I'm going back to sleep. I ain't going to wake up till it's all over. Am I right, evangelist? I ain't going to wake up till it's fixed. And the evangelist have to go out and say, baby, it'll never be fixed. You'll never wake up and all will be well until you surrender this thing to Jesus. So there's a healthy and there's an unhealthy type of sleep. Amen. And so now when we look at the healthy side, write this down, it promotes growth and prepares the mind for action. Action is the warfare that we can't be too tired or distracted to engage in. Can I say that warfare is not a spooky matter? Somebody say warfare is not spooky. Somebody say it's an everyday part of a believer's life. One more time, warfare is not spooky. It's an everyday part of, somebody say, a believer's life. Amen? And so you can jot down Ephesians 6 and 12 with that scripture, because that talks about how we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen? And so one thing I want to lift up is Mark 1 and 24. When I say spiritual warfare is not a spooky matter, when Jesus came upon the scene and the enemy immediately recognized him, go to Mark 1 and 24. Amen? How do I know the enemy recognized him? Because the enemy says in Mark 1:24, when Jesus approached the scene, the evil spirit cried out, what do you want to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? And when I thought about Nazareth, I immediately thought about how the enemy would try to throw up our past in our face. Because, you know, Nathanael, when he heard that Jesus was the Savior, his first reaction was, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So the enemy will throw up, you ain't even supposed to be nobody. You ain't even supposed to have no authority. So he says, I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. Have you come to destroy us? We know who you are, the Holy One of Israel. But look what Jesus says in verse 25. He just said, be quiet. Be quiet. How many of us have voices speaking to us that we just need to stand up and say, be quiet. Be quiet. Enough is enough. Oh, you remember that hurt, that pain, that molestation? You remember when he walked out on you? Come on, anybody still? Come on, y'all better walk in that authority. Anybody need to just rise up and say, you'll never see again. You'll never love again. You'll never be able to trust again. Come on, just voice of the enemy speaking into our mind. Your marriage is going to fall just like everybody else's marriage. Look where it's at. Look where theirs ended up, and it was in the same place. Anybody? Look at the doctor's report. The same people who went through the same thing you going through. Oh, my, look how they didn't make it. So now death and destruction begins to speak into your eye. Anybody need to just rise up in their authority and say, be quiet? Then stand up and say it. Then stand up and say it. Stand up and say, be quiet in the name of Jesus. You will not torture and torment my mind any longer. You know, people think, come here, Elder Ray. People think that deliverance ministry, and I am going to stop. I am. Y'all don't get nervous. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to take us a whole hour. I promise. Is that all? I'm not. Because here's what I thought when God said, you're going to be a deliverance minister, and you're going to start at home, and you're going to work your way out. I thought I was going to have to be like this. Come out in the name of Jesus. Vomit. Cough that thing up. Cough it up. I throw up all over the place, and I give it all. Give it all. I command you. You're going to come out of him right now. And when the thing jumped, I'm like, oh, shoot, holy to Jesus. I said, I'm good up to this point, dripping the oil and commanding and slaying and laying. But when that thing come up out of him, come on, now I'm going to be running. That's where I said, Lord, come on up, Ray. I said, you sure about this? Then when he took me to a text like Mark 1 and 24, where Jesus simply just walked on the scene. Come on, he ain't had no oil. Take this. He was the oil. He ain't had no precious ointment. He was the ointment. It was so powerful that upon his arrival, the spirit started getting nervous and saying, oh, hell, I got a headache. I think I'm going to go back to the pits of hell from whence I came. Why? Because the anointed one of God got her left foot on the way here, got her right foot on the way here. She and he is approaching the very place that we long to rule. And when he got there, He didn't touch nothing. He just said in a stern voice to the evil spirit that was operating in him, and I decree that we shall say to the evil spirit that's operating and speaking to us in a stern and authoritative voice, be quiet and come up out of him. When the word reference is referenced, it doesn't say that Jesus shook the man and knocked him out. It said that the evil spirit was so mad and so weighted down that the anointing of God had identified and addressed him, that the spirit in him shook the man and came out of him. And he fell to the ground because he knew something was broken. Come on, y'all. He knew something had taken place. He knew a level of authority had come into his presence. And he bowed down. And I believe he gave honor where honor is due to the true and the living God. Oh, this, look what I did. Look what I said. Look how I commanded. Baby, I ain't commanding nothing without the power and the authority of God. Nothing's going to move. Nothing's going to shake. Nothing's going to be broken. But when I walk in the power, when I become the anointing, when I am the oil, I'm able to lay hands on my own mind. Move that. I'm able to lay hands on my own mind. I'm able to identify my dark side. That now it ain't just about me, Marcus and Andrea. It's about my children. It's about what I'm releasing in their life. It's about the spiritual curses that Jonathan and Jeremiah gonna tap into if I don't stop and break it. We open up this altar now. Ain't nobody gonna lay hands. Keep on the shelf. Keep ministering. Because just as David, just as David played the instrumentals. That's it. And the spirit in Saul, the vexed spirit. spirit that frustrated him. The music. Close your eyes. See, you're not looking at nobody else's dark side. Oh, what were you going through? Oh, what were you going through? No, it ain't about what they going through. It's about the dark side that needs to be identified in your life. Oh, cycles of defeat, rejection, failure, bitterness, divorce, division, pain. I'm even going to speak to the spirit of sickness and disease. Sickness and disease that keep coming and going. The thoughts, the tormenting thoughts keep coming and going. The tormenting thoughts keep speaking and then going silent. Oh, you got this. Oh, you got that. You good today, but I'm not good tomorrow. But in the midst of how I feel, today I'm going to anoint myself with oil. Can somebody just put some anointing oil in their hand?
The oil.
Thank you, Elder Gale. Thank you.
The oil.